In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he tells us that those who don't know God are darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God due to ignorance caused by hardness of heart. They practice every kind of impurity. Paul reminds us that Christians have different goals. God calls us to put away the deceitful and corrupt aspects of human nature. God calls us to take on a human nature created in His image, in true righteousness and holiness. Paul quotes Psalm 4 when he says, "Be angry and don't sin." This is a difficult statement. In both the Hebrew and the Greek, it could be seen as a simple imperative, be angry. It could also be conditional. If you are angry, don't sin. Or when you are angry, don't sin. Paul then says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. This verse and those that follow it ask us to explore the meaning of anger. Anger is one of God's attributes. It's one that we don't hear a lot about in church, but the Bible describes God as being angry sometimes. God's anger gets kindled and it flares up like a fire. Most of those references are in the Hebrew Scriptures. But if you look for it, it's also in the New Testament. For example, Jesus came to a synagogue on the Sabbath. There was a man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees, who really didn't truly know God, waited to see if Jesus would dare to heal him on the Sabbath when work is forbidden. Scripture reports that Jesus looked at them in anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and then went on to heal the man. In creating us in His image, God gave us one of His attributes, the gift of anger. Like all of God's gifts, it can be used in a productive and holy manner, or it can be completely misused. When we're driving along Walton Way and a car pulls out in front of us, puts on its brakes, we put down our skid marks and maybe spin around, it's unlikely that our first reaction is going to be, "Bless your heart." Hopefully, none of us would start chasing that car, tailgating it down the hill, pulling it over, and attacking the unfortunate driver. That's road rage. And we'd be in a lot of trouble, both with the law and with God. I would hate to face Ashley Wright in her courtroom with that charge. I could plead guilty, throw myself on the mercy of the court, whatever. But it's also unlikely that we would think to use that incident and the anger associated with it as a God-given opportunity to reflect, pray, and to be reminded that God loves us and provides for us. Case dismissed. Yes. Okay, yet that's exactly what Psalm 4 says we should do. Be angry and don't sin. Speak to your heart and mind at night on your bed and be still. Put your trust, your faith, and your belief in the Lord. In other words, kneel by your bedside and pray. And as Paul says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. It flares up, let it die out. Anger is a dangerous gift. In the heat of the moment, we can completely forget to use God's other gifts of reason, judgment, and love. Paul reminds us that unrestrained, persistent anger gives the devil a chance to enter and to work through us. Anger can become rage and hostility. Anger can lead to revenge. Anger can injure others. Anger can lead to lies, to corruption, to bitterness, to slander, and to all kinds of malice. Anger can consume our lives if we let it. And anger can turn us against God. But anger can also be a holy, precious, and productive gift. Holy anger can alert us that something is very wrong and it needs to be fixed in a constructive way. Holy anger can help us respond quickly and appropriately to serious threats. Holy anger gives us an opportunity to come to God, asking Him to work through us to effect change. Holy anger can bring about positive, constructive change in our lives and in the lives of others. Another aspect of human nature that we really don't like to think about is that we fuss at each other. Like anger, complaining and murmuring and arguing can be a holy, precious, and even productive gift. The apostles certainly argued among themselves, sometimes right in front of Jesus. And it seems that they eventually learned from it. Much of the New Testament records how the early church disagreed on all kinds of matters of faith and practice, and how these arguments got resolved. In the patristic era, disagreements, heresies, and schisms led to formations of doctrine expressed in the creeds that we still say to this very day. And to this day, arguments in the church can send us to study Scripture, allowing God to bring us closer to Him through His Word. But fussing, murmuring, and complaining aren't always helpful. In the wilderness after the Exodus, the people murmured and complained and grumbled against Moses, who was their leader, chosen by God in order to take them to the promised land. And when Jesus preached at the synagogue in Capernaum, He said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And the people said, "What?" They grumbled about Him. In both cases, these people didn't recognize God and God's work when they saw it, due to ignorance caused by hardness of heart. When that heart gets hardened and the mind gets closed, disagreements can quickly turn into anger of the worst kind. We've all seen that happen at work, maybe at home, and in the church. That kind of anger can separate us from each other and from God. We can lose faith and forget to trust in God. Like Elijah, we could try to run away from our problems, but we would find ourselves in a wilderness, tired, depressed, and feeling very distant from God. God sent an angel to comfort Elijah and to provide the bread and water that he needed to sustain physical, mental, and spiritual life. And after David ran away from Saul, he also learned that God is the bread of life. In Psalm 34, David writes, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." And heaven knows that David had a lot of troubles. When we disagree, when we have feelings of anger, we should ask, where is God in this? What is God saying to me about this? How is God using this to draw me closer to him? We can let those times remind us that God is always with us. We can remember that God wants us to kneel at our bedside in prayer always, but particularly when we have these feelings. We know that God promises to save us from our troubles. The angel said to Elijah, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." Jesus comes to us again and again saying, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Jesus nourishes us in body, mind, and soul. Those who believe and trust in him will live forever. Instead of grumbling and being angry, we can transform that energy through prayer to taste and see just how gracious the Lord is. We trust in him. We bless his name. And he blesses us. Amen.